Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you one of our legacy shows, Spaced Out, hosted by the one and only Bob Bosler. Greetings and welcome, Bob. How are you today?
Doing wonderful. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, joyous Kwanzaa, and the Festivus for the rest of us.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much.
Happy to be here as always.
And I'm happy you're here as well. And I'm looking forward to tonight's show because it's about Godzilla.
Godzilla. Because nothing says the happy holidays more than a giant monstrous lizard that's trampling through Tokyo.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that tonight and the new movie, Godzilla Minus One.
Ta-dun. I'll be here in case you need me. I look forward to listening to Ted again.
All righty. Hey, Ted.
How's it going, Bob?
Doing good. I know we've been needing to catch up, and here we are. I appreciate you being on the show. And you, unlike me, have had the opportunity to see Godzilla Minus One.
Put it in this kind of perspective, guys. If I was traveling universes and I went to the Game of Thrones universe, the girl there has cute little dragons. I'm bringing two. I'm bringing Godzilla 2014 and Minus One.
Yeah, I've heard some really, really great things about this movie, and I looked it up. Unfortunately, I've just been too busy to catch it. Maybe I'll have a chance tomorrow. But I heard that it was very well done. It kind of goes back to the roots of Godzilla from the original 1954 movie.
It does. And here comes the kicker, Bob. Godzilla is not CGI'd.
Oh, man.
It's a guy in a rubber suit with animatronics. It's amazing.
Wow. Then we are going
I mean, there are some CGI effects, but you'll be able to pick them out. But they look so top-notch. I got to admit, I mean, it's really on par with Hollywood.
I've heard I've read that among the Godzilla fan community, this is like either their number one or number two Godzilla film, outside the original being the one from 2019. And this one, so, and I think it, this one, you know, is, also goes back to the roots in the sense that it's, set in 1947, I believe.
Yeah, it's set after it starts toward the end of World War II, is where they take you, and then it time jumps to different periods. You know, up until approximately, the late 40s, early 50s. It's amazing. I'm gonna touch a little bit on a couple of classics they have in there. You can see where in the storyline, for example, they are using old Imperial naval ships at some of the battles to kind of contain Godzilla. But one of the coolest things that I think got overshadowed was a very rare aircraft that we have never seen outside of black and white photos or animation actually be brought to real life in the sense of maybe with some CGI effects and models, and that is the Shinden. The Shinden was a pusher prop airplane from the late World War II era. The Japanese only built and fielded a few of them. It was optionally designed to have a jet engine put in later. It had wings in the back and canards in the front. It was ahead of its time. And so they beautifully reproduced it for the film. Right, it really complemented Godzilla really well. Some really good character to the film. The other thing they did was, Bob, in the past, we didn't really care about the humans getting trampled. Okay? But to appreciate more of Godzilla's destructiveness, they focus, yes, on the human aspect. And that's a little unusual, but I think that really brought some true beauty to the film, you know, was the supporting characters.
The trailer was well done, and it kind of showed that this would be the tone, you know, that this was not Godzilla, you know, being all, you know, funny and, you know, doing all the strange gestures that he was doing in some of the early to mid-70s version.
No, I think they really did take it back to the roots. I also think they took some cues from the more modern films and how fans reacted. And so I think they really paid a close attention to that. You know, like the modern films paid close attention to the original Godzillas and the original intent. And so kind of you can see where it's cross-referenced, where they've really paid attention. And then the other thing that was really phenomenal, I'll tell you what, I'm into sci-fi weaponry. Okay, there's a lot of weapons out there that would scare me if some idiot created them. This Godzilla has an atomic breath, so to speak, that is unlike anything ever seen before. You just have to see it to believe it. And it's like a total shock and awe. The term shock and awe, this is the epitome of it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, it's total devastation.
Well, I did notice, and it would be hard not to, that his spiky back is, you know, the scales are more spiky than they've ever been in any other alliteration of Godzilla. And there's probably a purpose, you know, like they seem to grow when he goes into battle.
Yeah, I believe that Godzilla evolves over time. Even if you kill Godzilla off and a piece of him survives, it's funny, my mom's binging the series Krypton, and, you know, she saw the episodes with Lobo, and Lobo's like mm-hmm. Deadpool, you know, as long as a piece of him exists, he can grow back.
Yeah.
So my belief is every generation of Godzilla improvement on the last. And so, yes, mm-hmm. things are going to change. It's going to change its place. It's going to change how it discharges.
Yeah, I thought the added spike level to his back tail and to his back period, I thought that was, you know, that's one of his traits, you know. So I thought
is,
that they
but what makes
enhanced it
what,
a bit.
Yeah, what is, but what makes this unique is what the spikes do.
Hmm.
What happens is as each one charges, it cocks upwards.
Hmm.
And as it gets closer to his head, it increases in speed. And by the time it gets to his neck, you can see the atomic breath is already starting to come out of his mouth. And then when it releases finally, it's like an uncontrollable vomit.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why you have to see it to understand how it functions. And the result is catastrophic, total destruction. I mean, what took Daenerys 45 minutes to do with one dragon to get, you know, to King's Landing in Game of Thrones, you could do in 2 seconds with this guy.
Huh.
And the entire city would be gone. It'd be a dust cloud.
Now, is this
wrap your head around that.
yeah. Is this movie done in English, or I thought it was in Captain?
Okay, so it is done in Japanese
mm-hmm.
with subtitles.
Okay,
which
that's
is
what
beautiful.
I thought.
Yeah, it's beautiful that way. I actually prefer a Japanese film with subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
And before you realize it, you know, you're so into it, you don't even really pay attention to the subtitles because you're starting to get the gist of what's going on. Like body language, actions, you know. So there's more of a focus really on what's going on the screen. And, the realism is just insane. I've never seen any kind of film done so realistic like this. the detail was phenomenal. It was beautifully done. Yeah, a lot of thought went into this. I recommend people go see it. I want to see it again when I get paid next. It's actually one of the things I'm going to do is go see it again. It was that good. It's very rare, Bob, that I'm going to go see a movie a second time in the theater. If I go see the movie for a second or third time, that means it really impressed me deeply.
Yeah.
And
well,
this really
definitely a movie to see in the theater. I heard it was definitely a movie to see on the big screen because of its massive.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry, LCD TVs. I don't care how big they are; they're not going to do it justice.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen. You know, people are going to go see it on the big screen, then they're going to sit at home and watch it on streaming and Blu-ray, and they're going to go, ugh, it's not the same. Just keep it in the theaters forever. And they did set it up for a sequel, which was good.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, that much I will say. I'm not going to get, you know, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone that hasn't seen it yet. I'm just saying it is set up for a sequel, potentially. There is a lot of good story. They went back and rehatched some of the original story ideas, and they make great sense. The characters are wonderful, you know, and it's just a lot of fun. It's got its scary moments. You know, I have to say, when he fired off his atomic breath, you know, for the first time you see it, it makes you jump. Because you're not expecting that. You know, you're expecting like what we've seen in 2014, you know, and in 19, you know, where he just like burns the hell out of everything. Oh, no, it's not like that. This makes you literally, you know, D-O-D-O your pants. It really gets you. Because you're not expecting it. You're not expecting that result. And you're like, oh, my God, what the hell is that thing? A wave motion gun?
Yeah.
You know? So it kind of really jumps at you. And like I said, the writers really did a good job. So did the screenplay guys and the research staff, I'm sure, did a great job historically. There's a lot of good historical stuff in there. And information. I think this was good. I think that this was something that had to be done. You know, years ago, the Japanese did a film called Yamato, and it was about it's about the battleship Yamato and what happened with that toward the end of its life. And I knew when they did that, they were going to do a space battleship Yamato. And when they did that, even though I wasn't impressed with it, I knew that at some point they were going to do a Godzilla film unlike any other. And I was like, I just know it's coming because they kept improving on stuff in increments. I'm glad they waited so long to do this because they were ready and they rolled it out beautifully. And oh my God, I don't care what superhero film you put in the theaters. It was not going to make any money compared to this film. There's just no way.
Wow.
You know, I mean, unless it was like Superman, you know, with Henry Cavill. You know, or a Gal Gadot Wonder Woman maybe, but that's about it. Everybody else would have flopped.
Well, it's great to see that they didn't even wait for, I mean, this could have been released next year, which is the actual 70th anniversary, given 1954, but they knew they had a really good movie, apparently, and there was no reason to wait. So,
you've got more Godzilla films coming out next year, you know, and related stuff. So they didn't want to overshadow each other. See, that's the other thing is you got two studios working on Godzilla, in hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Tahoe's got its hand in the American Godzilla. So obviously neither one wants to overshadow and wreck the other. They're actually working as a team. When you think about how they release the movie and then you look at the schedule for next year and you're like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. You know? Did we not have one earlier this year, an American production? I may have. Did I miss it, or was that last year?
No, there's okay, they got the Monarch series. I believe that's, I don't know what that's on. I think that's on Apple TV.
Streaming, that's going on now on one of the streaming services.
Right, right. And then next year they're supposed to have Godzilla and Kong against some other dude that kind of looks like an orangutan that's like gargantuan, you know. And that looks like it's going to be a good flick. So, you know, I'm glad that they did it when they did it and not released it next year and then had to compete with, you know, the other film.
Yeah. That sounds like a smart marketing.
Oh, yeah. It was a very good marketing move. They prepared it very well. They didn't rush it. You can tell it wasn't rushed. You know, it wasn't like other movies, which we won't mention from a certain studio. We will not mention thy name. That is unmentionable. I follow a guy named Doomcock on YouTube. He pretty much covers that one about, you know, the disasters they've put out. So, you know, ill-timed, ill-prepared, looked like they were rushed to be done just to rake in money. And this wasn't. You can tell that they really took their time. I think they probably actually worked on this for a couple of years. I would say a minimum of 3 years from start to finish. It's that good.
Well, I'm glad to hear it was a big hit. You know, I heard the critics, you know, it both fans and professional critics were very complimentary to this
which
film.
Is unusual for Hollywood critics to actually compliment a film of any kind. Usually they've got, you know, unless, of course, you know, it has to do with a certain agenda, which we won't get into, you know, everything comes down to them. You know, and then you go see the film and find out what a great film it is, you know, and these critics, they always get it wrong. They don't even watch the movies. They just make a critique on something that they know nothing about, which I find hilarious.
Yeah.
And for the first time, they actually got it right, because I think they actually got – some of them actually got a real screening of it. And, you know, okay, so they got it right. Good. Kudos to them. My hat's off to them. Got your heads out of the sand, you know.
Were there, do you know whether there, and I couldn't find this out, whether there were any real name stars, as far as name stars of in Japan that were in this film?
Or did it not matter,
you know?
I didn't pay attention to the credits. There were a few familiar faces from films I'm familiar with. I couldn't be sure because the costuming, the makeup was all different, you know. There were some people that were possibly in the Rurouni Kenshin films, possibly in Last Samurai, you know, that were extras, basically. So that's a good possibility that there was a few of those people. But like I said, I don't follow up on Japanese actors and actresses that much. I used to follow a lot of actresses in the sense of, you know, talking to them, knowing things. It's funny. I actually messaged with somebody that played in a film, in the second Kick-Ass film. And I message back and forth with this person periodically on Instagram, and they're a very open, very friendly person. You wouldn't expect it due to the character they played. But I didn't know for 2 years that this person had played a character in that film, you know, because I follow a specific group of people who do bodybuilding, and it turned out this person was not only a bodybuilder but a personal trainer. And lo and behold, one day this person posted a picture of themselves as their character in the film, and I was like, you got to be kidding, that was you? And they were like, yeah, you know. And I thought it was cool. Yeah, I told them, I said it was really cool, you know. And so there are some people that I do talk with, like cosplayers, things like that. But I really don't dive into it as much like I used to when I was doing conventions, because when I do the conventions, I'd pull security, and I sometimes have to escort these people around, you know, because that's how I paid to get in. And they looked for people with certain expertise and skills, you know, and they would hire us to go do the security, and they would say, hey, you want to make a few extra bucks, you want an extra day pass, can you escort this person around? Oh yeah, no problem, you know. And that's actually how I got into a tug of war with a certain person over a ship model. You know who I mean. And once in a while, me and that person also message back and forth, you know, once in a blue moon, just out of the blue, you know, I'll send a message, you know, how you doing, or what's your new project, you know. And then they'll ask how I'm doing because, well, you know what I'm dealing with medically. So yeah. That's the other thing. My other actor friends, same thing, you know. They ask how I'm doing once in a while, you know, see how I'm doing. So, which is really good to have people that are that friendly, you know, that actually care.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a lot of fun, but I wish I knew some of the people that were in the film. Long story short of it, you know, because some of them are very good actors.
Well, I think it was a good move too to do it with subtitles. Because we all remember, and to a certain degree, it was always a joke when we would watch the Japanese movies that we saw the translations with English dubbed in, and of course the mouths never matched up, and it's kind of funny, you know, like not only do they not match up, they. You know, there was the mouths didn't even move sometimes with the
worst ones. Believe it or not, the worst ones were the early kung fu movies from China.
Oh yes, yeah,
they were the worst at that. The Japanese picked it up pretty quick and fixed it. The Chinese, for a long time, didn't get it right, and then eventually they started fixing it. I'm not knocking. I'm not making fun of them. Hey, for the time,
yeah.
Look, you know, everybody put out good films. Everybody does the best they can with what they have to work with. It's that
yeah.
Thing. You know, not knocking one group or another. I've been in that situation with building models, you know. You only have so much resources, so you work with what you have. It's that simple.
Yeah. That's
and then
right.
You improve as you go.
That's
a true modeling motto, you know,
for
a modeler. I mean, any modeler that tells you otherwise is full of D-O-D-O, you know, and they're lying to you, okay? There's no such thing as the perfect modeling situation when you're building a model. Things will go sideways in the blink of an eye very quickly. Same thing with model trains, RC cars, all that stuff. Like, you know, I work in a hobby shop, so I get to see a lot of the interesting things that happen. You know, they bought the RC car. This is a funny story. This really happened. So a guy came in, bought this RC car for like over $1,200, battery charger, everything, right? A few days later, comes back with his wife. The whole front end is smashed in. So he starts ordering all the parts to rebuild the front end of the car. And that's the nice thing with these cars. You can rebuild them. Okay? And it won't cost as much like a real car. But his wife is standing there getting all upset at the amount of money. He's almost spent over $2,000 now.
Uh-huh.
So I turn around, and I put on this little German accent, and I start talking about the Tiger tank that shoots these little airsoft 6mm pellets. And boy, did she have a grin from ear to ear, but he'd get out of the store. You know what she was thinking, Bob?
Yeah.
RC tank shoots RC car.
Yeah.
Boy, that glow on her face was priceless. So remember, guys, if you have RC cars, don't make your girlfriend mad. She'll know exactly where to go to get the solution to the problem. But, you know, it's a lot of fun sometimes, too. And then you get the unruly people. But that's in anything you do. You know, it's like when you go to a movie and you get that unruly person that sits behind you and they're like kicking the back of your chair because they don't know how to put their feet up the right way, you know,
right.
Or they're like heaving popcorn around or something, you know, or making a lot of noise. And you're just like, are you going to shut up anytime soon? You know?
Yeah.
And I've had that happen. I've been in theaters where I've seen people get kicked out just because they were running their mouths too loud and talking on their phones and stuff. It happens. You know,
even with all those reminders to, you know, and I still remember the classic one of da 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 da, you know, relax.
Yeah, see, I'm not the nice person. I'll actually reach behind me, grab your phone, and chuck it down toward the exit sign. And say, you stay in that chair and you can have it when the movie's over.
Yeah.
Or you're going to follow it out the exit. Because I don't care. I'm there to watch a movie. I'm not there to listen to you yip-yap and play games on your phone or whatever the hell you're doing.
Well,
you know?
Especially now, because less, you know, it does seem like less people are going to the movie. And it is more of the way it used to be was it's a special event. And I think that's what people are starting to see it as, is this is a special event and we don't want to be distracted by, you know, your phone, you're fiddling around with your phone.
Your fidgets or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can't sit there for two and a half hours, then you shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And at least,
if you're that,
you know,
fidgety.
Seeing where children, some of whom shouldn't be in those particular movies, at least the parents.
Actually, Bob, I'm going to tell you something. This is a shock, okay? The children behave better than the adults.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
Every time I've been in the movies where I've had rowdy people in there, the kids are totally behaved. It's the adults.
Yeah.
It's the people in their 30s.
Yeah.
30s and 40s acting like a bunch of idiots.
I've always enjoyed Godzilla movies on the big screen. And I do recall one of my most memorable Godzilla experiences, not to say that the movie was truly outstanding, although at the time I was much younger. I was, you know, I wasn't even a teenager, and I saw it with some friends of mine. At the old drive-in that actually existed in Toms River, New Jersey, behind the go-kart place, which, of course, is long gone, which was around the area of Hannah Krause. I'm not giving them a shameless plug, but the Hannah Krause candy store on 37th. It was somewhere around there. And you would go in what is now probably a residential neighborhood, in this wonderful drive-in, and I saw Godzilla versus Megalon. This has got to be circa 1974. God, I don't know what time it was, but it was sometime in the early 70s.
My first Godzilla movie I saw in the theaters was Godzilla 1985.
Oh, okay.
And I saw that in the Ocean County Mall.
So you're younger than me.
when they used to have a movie theater in the mall. Remember when they used to have a movie theater Sears?
Yeah. The Ocean County Mall, they were kind enough to give us the whole tour of the place. This is before everything went digital, but he showed me how they string up the then reels and everything else.
That was where I saw Godzilla 1985.
Mm-hmm.
I got off of school. I took a ride with a friend that lived down the street from the mall. They dropped me off. And I walked over went to the movies. Back then, I think it was like $2 and change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to the matinee. And I saw that. And then after the movie, because we got out of school early that day. That's right. We got out of school early that day. So I went to the matinee. And then I walked to Route 9 so I could catch the bus back home. And I took the bus home to Beechwood Pine Beach. And I just walked home. And, you know, nobody ever knew the difference. And I used to do things like that, you know. Once in a while I would sneak off and go to a movie or go to a friend's house or something, you know, and seeing, cause when I grew up, I watched Godzilla movies and when, you know, I'd never seen one on the big screen and I seen that and it was out for a short time. I remember. And it was a lot of fun to watch, you know?
Yeah.
And, I think that was the one where they brought back Raymond Burr, if I remember.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Well, I was wondering if my memory was correct in that at some point Raymond Burr was brought back.
I believe it was that one. And I remember his character talking about the time before, you know, when Godzilla first started raiding.
Yeah.
And I think they were really trying back then to push bringing back the old Godzilla, you know.
Yeah.
But for some reason, things always went off in different directions because, you know, different creators, different writers, people, different producers with different ideas. So it's not like now, you know, where you try to lock in contracts for a specific genre, you know.
Yeah.
Like the Man of Steel series, there's supposed to be more movies, but they never did them, you know, because they kicked out Snyder, basically.
Yeah.
Think about it. And then they picked and choosed which characters they were going to keep. And the problem with that was they ruined the franchise because fans want Henry Cavill as Superman. They want Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. They don't want some no-name.
Yeah.
You know? They don't want to reboot. They don't want to rehash. They're sick of that. That's something people don't want anymore. And that's why this Godzilla film was so unique was, yes, it was a reboot. When you look at it, it's a rehash.
Yeah.
But the way they did it was they put more substance in the story to make it more understandable of why they did it. And so that's why I think it's so widely accepted. Whereas, you know, okay, so we're going to replace Henry Cavill with Nicolas Cage as Superman next. What are you, out of your mind?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, come on. You know how much teeth and nails they had to pull just to get Nicolas Cage to do the Flash movie as Superman? In that one scene? It was like...
Yeah. Well, I thought that was CGI. I didn't even... think of it as being him, but I guess it could have
no,
been.
No, it was him. It was the only way they could get him to agree to do it, because the last time they asked him to do Superman, he literally told him to go bleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's all I'm going to say on that, because Superman's one of his favorite characters, and he'd never want to ruin it.
That whole project got canceled, and, you know, from what we've heard about it, it's probably a good thing between the weird spider use and giant spider. Although it would have been nice to see Brainiac on the big screen. I think that's the one thing that was worth pursuing.
Well, that's the other thing. Like you see the offshoot shows like of Supergirl and Krypton. When you look at all the costuming and details, they actually, I don't know why they change stuff. In the sense, they should have stuck with the Man of Steel universe. Like when they introduced Superman and Supergirl, Henry Cavill threw a fit because they didn't even ask him. He said he would have done it for free just to get his name out there.
Yeah.
And he was really upset. That was the first time he quit on them, you know, and that's what it was about. And You know, well, it's they do these changes, and that's what I liked about with the Godzilla film was they thought about what they did before they did it. They just didn't go, oh, well, we're just going to do this and do that. No, they actually put some thought into it, you know.
Well, I'm glad to see that they did it this way because we have seen so many different alliterations of Godzilla over the years, both in movies, in you know, the first
right.
American version, which we won't go into, but even to, you know, a more fun-loving but one,
we,
the 1970s.
We don't count the Matthew Broderick one.
No. But
that, that was an oversized iguana.
The Godzilla cartoon that we might remember, some of us might remember from Saturday mornings with Godzuki. I can still remember the theme intro to that and, you know, how corny that was. And yet at the same time, the animation, you know, all I could think of is, well, if you got rid of Godzuki and you weren't so campy, this would have been an excellent, you know, cartoon. But of course, Godzilla had to be a good guy, you know, in a cartoon like that. You couldn't have him, you know, on a Saturday morning cartoon trampling over people. But, you know, we have that. We have the Godzilla in the
middle. That's the other thing is Godzilla is, okay, it's like one of my ships I built years ago called Tsunami. You know, Tsunami is what they call the God Syndrome. It's a ship so powerful you have to send a ship of equal power to destroy it or God, you know. And Godzilla is the God Syndrome of the kaiju universes.
Yeah.
You know, it's the ultimate dragon when you think about it, the most destructive.
Yeah.
And in every iteration, he becomes more and more powerful. Well, eventually you reach a pinnacle that nothing can equal it. And so this is a problem. So that's why they have to keep reinventing Godzilla every so often. And my hat's off to them for doing that because they realize that syndrome bored with it.
Yeah.
So you have to change up the character. You know, the next Godzilla that comes along is going to be the same kind of Godzilla. It's going to be different. What's he going to do? Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he an anti-hero? Is he somewhere in between? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. Is he going to come burn down every city in the world? You know?
Well, I also remember that the Godzilla craze of the, I guess it was the mid-70s. You may not remember this. But when we had the toys, the rather large Godzilla, and of course they accompanied
I've seen the toys from that era.
The Shogun Warriors, you know, that one had Godzilla's claw, you know, mysteriously just shooting out, and this did the very large Shogun Warriors that would fight with him, and that came out right around the same time of when Marvel Comics, and I don't know if those two things connected in any way, although maybe Marvel decided this was a smart property to get right now since everybody, you know, the toys had come out. But when Marvel Comics had acquired the licensing rights to Godzilla and Shogun Warriors, because they were doing both series at the same time, and then merged the Marvel universe with it, with S.H.I.E.L.D. going after Godzilla. And I remember there was an issue where all of the Avengers got together in S.H.I.E.L.D. and they were all fighting Godzilla together. And Herb,
it's funny because I laugh at it because as powerful as Thor is, for example, you know, at some point, Godzilla's just going to whack him with his tail, and he's going to become part of the side of a mountain, you know.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel will end up going through the mountain.
Yeah.
Thanos, well, we know what happens to him. You know, it's just squish.
Yeah.
Like, great. You know.
Well, and Herb Trim, I might be pronouncing his name wrong, Trimby, who did the Hulk, for many years. I don't know if he was doing that artwork with the Hulk at the time, but he was the artist on Godzilla, and he did a great job. He really did. But the stories
were kind of ridiculous. Yeah, I've seen some of the old comics.
Yeah.
And a lot of them had interesting stories. And a lot of good backstory, too. And I am glad in film we're not just getting the action sequences in this movie. We're getting backstories.
That's good. That's...
Which is really good. What I would like to know is, to Godzilla completely,
yeah,
what did he really come from? What really created him?
Yeah.
You know, is he an ancient beast? Like they say in the modern American series, in the Japanese film, you know, they throw out a theory or two, but they really,
or was he mutated?
They really don't touch on it, and I think that's because at some point, I dare say this, I think they're really going to merge them.
Hmm.
Now, that would be an interesting situation.
Yes,
what if
would.
You have two different species of Godzilla on Earth?
Yeah, yeah.
One's still dormant, even after the Titans have awakened. And it turns out
he wasn't really a dinosaur, but what if he was? What if he was a creature of that, like that? Was he a mutated lizard? Was he revived by the nuclear fire, you know, of the nuclear test site? You know, from the past, or a mutated dinosaur that was revived. You know, we've seen different explanations over the years.
Well, okay, so the modern Godzilla, the modern American version, I think hits a nail on the head of what Godzilla is. But I think there's more than one species.
Hmm.
And
yeah,
that's why I have this strange belief that they may actually tie the two together down the road.
Mm.
What a spectacle that would be. Because everybody thinks, you know, the 2014 Godzilla, 19 Godzilla, he's an ass kicker. You know, yeah, he is. But here's his cousin.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how to shock and awe. I mean, you know, we could say this is the original species, and maybe the one we know, we've come to know over the past few years, is the evolutionary step, and that this one's a throwback that might have been dormant, you know, and awakened at the same time, one of them, and then later on, you know, you come across what continues on, or it's an evolving creature. They tried to get into this with the Shin Godzilla film, the Japanese did. That was an interesting, weird Godzilla, very creepy, scary as hell. Would be no match, I think, for this one. You know, the weirdest, the stupidest part was it had laser beam type atomic breath coming from its mouth and its tail, which I really thought was far-fetched, but it was an evolving creature that was evolving to become a Godzilla. So maybe it's another iteration of the same species. It's hard to say. It's
yeah.
a very weird creature. So the Godzilla we know, and the Godzilla that just came out, I have a feeling do have a deep-rooted connection to each other. And at some point down the road, I really firmly believe that, or would like to believe that they're going to somehow explain that. And that's when we're going to get more of an answer to a couple of things.
Nothing would surprise me at this point.
I think it would be an awesome move on their part to do it. I think it would really drive the fans wild in a positive way.
Yeah, what was the one that kind of kicked off the Godzilla King Kong one? I don't think that was 2019. I think it was before that one. It was an American version. Primarily, it was focusing on that one soldier's family. Or
okay,
am I mistaken?
So you have 2014 with that one soldier and his family.
Okay.
2 years later, they did Godzilla versus Kong. Then they did Godzilla King of the Monsters. Okay. And now they're doing another one, which is coming out next year.
Okay.
So, either way.
And the one that was the most recent, what? How did that fit in continuity-wise? That was post Kong versus. Post Godzilla versus Kong, but it seemed like it was just Kong, Godzilla himself. Was that? And I think I missed that one somehow.
No, actually, that was after King of the Monsters.
Okay.
So Godzilla versus Kong came after that.
Okay.
Because in Godzilla versus Kong. I'm trying to think now. Wait a minute. Now I might have it in the reverse. Okay. Mechagodzilla, when he fights King Kong, Mechagodzilla is mm-hmm. the remains of King Ghidorah, the three-headed Hydra dragon.
Yeah.
So it came after that. And this time, Kong and Godzilla both finished his ass off really good. So he's toasty.
Well, and everyone loves, as much as the Toho series was campy, we still loved our Mothra, we loved Ghidra, we love, some of the classic monsters, outside the Smog Monster, and even his allies, Jet Jaguar. Which was who first appeared in Megalon. In fact, I thought that was what Megalon was, but that's not, that was not, that wasn't the case. Megalon was the good guy.
No. I think that the problem with the American version is they're trying to tie too much together too quickly. They're using the Monarch series, I believe, to help kind of smooth stuff over that's a little rough.
Yeah.
Which was a smart move.
Yeah. To do it in a less campy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they've managed to forget Son of Godzilla.
Well, I don't think there really will be room for a Son of Godzilla in either genre.
No, that was his little halo, his little. That was his little halo power.
I think that what's coming down the pipe. I think they're sticking to serious films. That's what the fans want. They don't want this wishy-washy, campy, stuff. And even the Japanese really don't want it because it didn't sell very well to them.
No.
So, the guys at Tahoe really paid attention to that. I'm glad they took the sabbatical they did and chilled for a bit so they could rethink it.
Yeah. Well, the audience that loved that has grown up and now looks back and says, that was cute when we were growing up, but now, we're adults and, just like how Batman, we might love the Batman series as nostalgia and look back, but we want to see, Batman the way he should have been,
from the comics, the early comics, as the Dark Knight, the, you know.
But what I liked about the Flash movie was basically how Barry Allen has wrecked the timeline.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I think, were disappointed, but I understood it because, you know, us Star Trek fans, we understand the consequences of you mess with the timeline, crap's going to go sideways. Ask Q, he'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
Need I go any further, you know? So in that regard, I just find that, like I said, they really going to be some good continuity at what's coming. So far, the American films are good with continuity. They are trying to tie too much too quickly, but they are doing a good job. My hat's off to them. The movies are fun to watch, you know. Hey, if I got to sit there and I got to watch something on a certain streaming channel, who I will not mention, or am I going to watch Godzilla? Yeah, I'm watching Godzilla. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, we know which streaming service I am alluding to.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
It has a lot of issues.
Yeah. I'm glad they don't have possession of Godzilla as much as they have everything else.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine that? No, I don't even want to. I don't even want that picture in my mind.
No.
I'm not even going to torture our fans out there with that thought. Okay, because that I'm sorry. That would be the quickest way to end a particular corporation and its streaming service, like, overnight.
Yeah, another death of a franchise.
I know Hercules is
going to come out in a few minutes just to tell us to wrap things up. But what – so would you say this was your favorite Godzilla movie just about, or
– I have to say from Japan, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite Godzilla movie from Japan ever.
Yeah, because you want
really
to go see
forward
it again.
To seeing it again. I think I'm actually going to take my mom to see it as a kind of like a Christmas present as a thank you for all the kindness she's done for me over the years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to surprise her with it because she hasn't seen anything on it. So it's going to be like a total surprise. I just want to take her to see it and just have her just go, oh, my God. I know she's going to love it. Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly happy that Godzilla is alive and well in these films, and that they can still redo him. And I think work going in the past worked best. You know, sometimes a whole change of frame, you know, can bring even a modern.
It depends on how you present it. It's all in the presentation. They presented it very carefully.
Yeah, and
that's why I say, oh my God, this was amazing. Out of all the Godzilla films I've seen thus far, even the American ones, this one really is a topper. You know, it was brilliantly done. I loved it, and I look forward to seeing another one. And I can't wait to go back and see this one again. I really do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I wonder.
So Godzilla is alive.
He did that a sequel
as well, and he is smashing and burning.
Yeah. So, I am very happy to hear that they're doing so well with this, and I can't wait to see it.
Emily with you. Drag her with you.
Yeah.
To see it. Taking her to see it. Just take her.
Well, I may literally be capturing her because we have to drop off her car sometime tomorrow, and so we'll be down to one car for a few days. until that's
go
fixed.
See it.
So
it's worth it, Bob. Take Emily with you. Oh my God. Tell her
I
told you to kidnap her.
Yeah, I'll blame it on you. I'll
happily take the blame.
I'll be like, oh, we're going to Marquee Cinema. How did we end up here? Or Frick. Wherever it's playing.
Yeah.
So, a matinee on a Friday, or
she's gonna love it. She's gonna love it.
Well, I appreciate your joining us.
I enjoy it. Every time I'm on with you guys, it's fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. It wasn't much time to prepare, but that's okay. You know, hey.
I didn't give you too much notice, but I knew having seen the movie that you would have lots to talk about of your reaction to the movie, and I kind of figured it would be a very positive one given all the other comments that I read of how good it was.
Oh, it's a good call. I mean, yeah, dude, I loved every minute of it, and I don't mind, and I look forward to doing this again soon, you know.
Sorry for interrupting. We have 3 minutes left.
Okay.
All righty. All righty, Hercules. Just want to wish everyone...
Thank you for having me on, Bob and Hercules. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you for joining us and being our Godzilla correspondent tonight. I wish everyone happy holidays, whatever you're celebrating. Enjoy and be safe out there. And take the time to... have a good time, you know, during the holiday season. It has this big buildup and then it vanishes and we get back to the throes of real life again. So enjoy every moment of it. And those seeking me can find me at beamaboard@aol.com, USSChallenger.org, and on USS Challenger's Facebook page. I keep on saying I'm going to do a spaced out email and Facebook page, and I never get around to it. So hopefully in the new year I will. So thank you, Hercules.
And thank you, Bob. And thank you, Ted. And thank you to our wonderful audience for tuning in. Happy holidays and season greetings to all. And until next time, joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Take care, everybody.
You as well.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye.